Okay, today's daf is Bava Basra daf Mem Vav. We left off yesterday on daf Mem Hey Amud Beis. Sorry about the recording yesterday. Got messed up, so we couldn't post yesterday's daf online. But we are holding on daf Mem Hey Amud Beis. We are at Masiv Rava L'Siyue L'Rabba, about 6 lines from the bottom of the page. And we're picking up in the middle of yesterday's discussion where Rabba was Mechadesh, that when we say an Uman does not have a Chazaka, when you say that, let's say a tailor, does not have a Chazaka on the clothing that's in his shop, so Rabba was Mechadesh, Loshna El Shemasar Lo Be'edim. That's only true if it was originally given to him with Edim, and the Edim can verify that it was not given to him as a gift, and that it was given to him just to fix. But if it was given to him shelo be'edim, since after all the tailor could just deny ever receiving the item in the first place, so when he says that he has purchased it, it belongs to him, he's believed. A simple migo, that the only way a tailor is not going to have a chazaka is if it was given to him with edim. Abaye disagreed with Rabba. Abaye said, no, even if it was given to him with edim, he could say, Chzartavlach. He could always say, I returned it. So when he says, L'kuchu biyadi, he should also be believed. So Abaye disagrees with Rabba. So now we are going to comment on that machlokas. So Masiv Rava, this Yue L'Rabba. Rava asks to bring a raya to Rabba, which is an unusual lashon. Masiv normally would mean he asks on whoever disagrees with Rabba. So you would say, Masiv Rava L'Abaye, it should be that Rava asks on Abaye, disagrees with Abaye. And in fact, Rashbam notes this, the siyue l'rabba, nira be'enai debaloshon hazeh amar Rava, v'beis ha-medrash, that Rava said the following lashon in the beis ha-medrash, tanya kavasei derabba v'tiyuvta d'abaye, meaning the proper lashon to use, and the lashon that Rava probably did use, was that I have a braisa that supports Rabba, and is a tiyuvta on Abaye. Not that he has a massive lisiyue l'rabba, that's unusual. So again, but the point is the same, that he has something, he has a source that's going to support Rabba, and is going to be a problem for Abaye. What's the braisa? As follows. Hanosin talisa l'uman. If a person gives his talis to an uman, to a tailor to fix, uman omer shtaim katzatzli. So the tailor says, you set a price of $2 for the talis to fix for me, V'alo omer lo katzatzli lo chela achas. And the guy who owns it, who gave the talis to the tailor, said that I agreed to pay you only $1. Kol zman sha talis biad uman, al balabayis lavi raya. If the uman, if the tailor, is still holding on to the talis, so then it's going to be the balabayis' responsibility to prove that the uman had agreed to the cheaper price, otherwise he's going to have to pay the more expensive price. Nasnullah, but once the talis was already handed over from the uman to the balabayis, so now the balabayis is in possession of the talis, so bismano nishba v'notel, if he's claiming the money at the right time, meaning the day that the talis was returned, the uman says, okay, now pay up, and they have a disagreement as to what the wages are, what he's supposed to pay him, so the uman can take a shavua that the wages were in fact two and not one, and then take the money. But avar zmano, hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. Once the zman is passed, once he's claiming the money after the day that he's given it back, so then if you want to get $2 out of the balabayas, you need to bring a raya that in fact that was the agreed upon wage. Now why is it that when it's bizmano, the uman can just take a shavua and receive the money that he asks for? So Rashbam explains, klomar in bizmano tovo bedin nishpa v'notel, dahainu menan nishpa v'notel, sachar bizmano nishpa v'notel. This is one of those cases mentioned in Mesachah Shavuos that the chachamim were mesakein, that even though mida oraisa, the guy should not be able to take a shavua and therefore be able to receive his payment based on the shavua. The chamor mesakin that he should. Why? The time of shavuos mishum to balabai is tar bepal of himnu l'sachir. Meaning, what should the halacha really be over here? The uman says you owe me $2. The balabai says no, I only owe you $1. So that's a classic case of moda b'miktsas. Moda b'miktsas. The guy who is moda to part of the chov has to take a shavua that he doesn't owe the rest of it. And then he's going to be pater from the rest of it. That's classic moda b'miktsas. But in this case, the Rabbanan were concerned, the Chachamim were concerned, that when you hire people You very often are so tarud because you have so many people working for you and you have so much going on that you're not going to remember exactly how much you agreed to pay each person. So therefore, we give the Uman the upper hand over here, and we allow him to go and take the Shavua and be able to receive the money. But that's only so long as you're still tarud. That's only so long as we still assume that you're all caught up, you're caught up in different things and you're not going to be able to remember. But if it's la'achar zman, if it's sometime later, so we assume you have a little bit more yishuv hadas, you'll be able to think it through, and you'll remember exactly how much you really owe the person. But essentially what this price has taught us, again, we're at the bottom line of Memhem Beis, what this price has taught us is that if the talis is still in the Uman's possession, you brought your suit to a tailor, and the tailor still has the suit, and then you get into a disagreement about the price, the tailor is going to be believed to say that the price is whatever it is, so long as he doesn't suggest a price that's more than the value of the actual suit. The tailor is going to be believed. Why is he going to be believed? So the assumption is he's going to be believed with a migo. That migo that he could have said that he bought the suit from you and that it's his suit, so he's believed to say that the price is what it is. So says the Gemara, how is this a raya to Rabba? Hey Chidami, what's the case here exactly? Idi ike edim, if in fact it were edim that saw the fellow give the suit to the Uman, lichsi edim akamri. Why don't we just see what the edim have to say? If the edim in fact verify his claim that it was $1, so then you pay $1. If the edim say that no, it was, you gave it to him and it was with an agreement of $2, so then you pay him $2 if there were edim. Elulav deleka edim. So it must be that there were no edim when you gave the suit over, right? Even though now we see that the Uman has the suit, at the time that you gave it to him, there were no edim. And yet, what do we say? V'katani Uman mehemen. That as long as the Uman still has the suit, he's believed to say the price is whatever he wants to say it is. He's believed to say the price is two and not one. Why? Migo di bayamale, lukuchi biadi mehemenami, I agree. Since he could have said that he owned the suit, that he bought the suit from you, so we believe him to say that you had agreed upon a price of two as opposed to a price of one. So what do you see from here? You see clearly that there are no edim, and the uman is believed. Right, what did Rabbah say? That the only time the Uman does not have a chazaka is when it was given to him with Edim. But if there were no Edim, the Uman is going to be believed because he could always say lahadam, he could always say that lo hayadvar me'olam. So don't you see that this is a raya to Rabbah? So answers the Gemara, lo. No, it's not a raya at all. Li'olam delaka Edim. Who says that we're talking about a case where there were edim? Maybe you're right that we're talking about a case where there were no edim, like you suggested. But you know why he's believed? Not because whenever there are no edim, he's automatically believed with amigo. It's for who de lo ra'a. He's believed because we never even saw that the Uman still has the suit. The Uman could have just said lo hayidvar me'olam. I don't even have the suit. So if he's so everyone would say in that case that he's going to be believed. And if there are no edim that saw you give the suit to him, and no one sees that he has the suit right now, so of course the Uman's going to be believed, because he could have really just denied the entire transaction ever occurred. He could have denied ever having the suit in the first place. So it's not going to be a riot to anybody, because everybody would agree in that case, when it's both no edim plus no one sees the suit in his possession now, everyone would agree that the Uman's going to be believed. Fine, so we didn't prove anything from there. Now the Gemara is going to bring its final proof to this in this Machlokas Rabba and Abaye, and this one is going to work. So Rav Nachman asked the following: Uman ein lo chazaka. We say that an Uman doesn't have a chazaka. Uman hu de ein lo chazaka ha'achar yesh lo chazaka, which implies that there's something special about being an Uman. Meaning that if someone else, Stam, a random guy, my neighbor, happened to have my suit, he'd have a better chance at having a chazaka on it than an Uman would. And the logic is obvious, that obviously a tailor has lots of suits in his shop. You can't say that every suit the tailor has. He has a chazaka on that that it belongs to him. Whereas every suit in my closet, I have a chazaka that it belongs to me, because I don't take other people's suits to fix or to do anything with. So we see clearly from the lashon of the Braisa that Dafka says an uman doesn't have a chazaka, that there's a difference between an uman and another person. That there are cases where an uman would not have a chazaka, but someone else in that same situation would have a chazaka. So what's the case? Heichidami. Idiika Edim, if there are Edim that saw that you gave the person this suit to fix, so it doesn't matter if it's an Uman, if the guy's a professional tailor or not. Achar Mayesh Lo Chazaka. Why would anybody have a Chazaka? If there are Edim, if you could bring Edim that said that you gave this suit to this fellow to fix for you, so why would that guy ever have a Chazaka in it? You have Edim that you gave it to him just to fix, and it's not his. Elulav must be, what's the case where there's a chilik between an Uman and an Acher? Must be Delaka Edim, that there are no Edim there that saw that you gave it to him, and still we say Vikatani Uman Ein Lo Chazaka, and still we say the Uman doesn't have a Chazaka. Now wait a second, according to Rabbah, if there were no Edim, the Uman should be believed to say whatever he wants, because he could say that he bought it. No one could prove how it came into his possession. Ah, but you see from here that Rabbah's wrong. Tiyufta de Rabbah Tiyufta. You see that even when there are no Edim that the suit was given to the Uman to fix, nevertheless, even though there are no Edim, you see that the Uman cannot have a Chazaka on it because, by virtue of his profession. We assume a Stam suit in his possession was given to him to fix and was not given to him as a gift and was not something that he had purchased, and therefore he has no Chazaka. He better have good proof to any of his own suits that he likes to keep in his own closet, because he's not going to have a chazaka by virtue of possession of those suits. Okay, period. That's the end of yesterday's sugya. Tan Rabbanan. Let's go back a little bit. Let's take a look at Tosfos. El lav deleka edim. Right, we said that it must be talking about a case where there were no edim. So hikshurivam the hechi matzi. Lu'ukmi, the Deleka Edim. How can we say that we're dealing with a case where there are no Edim? Im Kain, Amai Bizmano Nishba Venotel. Meaning, going back on the first price that we had brought, why do we assume, how could we possibly assume, that the first price that we had bought, where there was a dispute over the price, right, between the guy who had given the suit and the Uman, how could we possibly say that there were no Edim? If there were no Edim, why, when the Uman has given back the suit and he's claiming his money in the right zman, at the day that he gives back the suit, why do we assume he's nishba v'notel? Ha'amrin b'reish kol nishba'in. We say in Masech HaShavuos, dim sachro shalo be'edim, that if you hire somebody without edim, mitoch shiach alomar lo schaticha me'olim, yach alomar lo schaticha v'nosati lach scharcha, that since you could have said, look, whoever said I hired you, I never hired you, and therefore I owe you nothing, so since you could have said that, we believe you to say that you did hire him, and this is the wage that you agreed to pay him. Meaning, we had said before that the Rabbanim made a special takana, that since a guy who hires people generally doesn't remember exactly how much he agreed to pay everybody, so he's going to get confused, and therefore we allow the worker to swear as to what his wages were, and to take those wages. That's what we said before. But the Gemara in Shavuos qualifies that. The Gemara says that's only if we know for sure that Reuven hired Shimon. But if we don't even know that Reuven ever hired Shimon, there's no edim that he ever hired him, so Reuven could say, no, Shimon, you can't swear and just take whatever you say your wages are, because I could deny ever having hired you. That I would remember. Right? So Migo, that I could have said I never met you before and I don't owe you anything, I should be believed to say how much I owe you. So how can we make a new kimta that the Braisa, where they argue about how much the Balabais owns the tailor, is talking about a case where there were no Edim? If there are no Edim, then he should never be Nishba Venotel. Then the tailor should never be able to swear as to how much he's owed and take the money. So says Tosos V'omari, Delo Kashamidi, Dechadu Deplokti Yihasam. First of all, Tos says, not such a kasha, because it's machlokas over there, whether this is true. If he doesn't, if there's no proof that he ever hired him, is it true that he's automatically believed with the Migo? And we're assuming like the other daya. Va'od, tahacha leka hai Migo. Over here, you wouldn't have such a Migo. You wouldn't have a Migo to say, believe me that I owe you only $1, because I could have said that I never hired you, kiven shemoda b'miktsas, because he's already moda b'miktsas. V'yom los chartich me'olam, have a kofar b'kol. But if he were to say that I never hired you, then he'd be denying owing anything. And we have a chazaka that a person would never be Meis Panav. If he really owes money, he would never say that he owes nothing. So essentially, once he's moded that he owes $1 and not $2, once he's already been moded that he owes X amount of money, so we're going to assume that he's a moded b'miksas, and therefore he's not going to be believed with a migo that he could have said something that would have taken a significant amount of chutzpah to say. Meaning, if we assume he actually does owe money, we're not going to believe in migo that he could have said he owes nothing, because it would have taken a significant amount of chutzpah to look at a guy who you do owe money to and say that you owe nothing to that person. And therefore, the migo is not going to be operative. It's not going to be shaykh over here. Good. The next Tosos, going on the second brisa, Idi Ika Edim Achar Amay Yeshlo Chazaka, meaning going on the line where we said that an Uman doesn't have a Chazaka, but there are cases where a person, only because he's an Uman, will not have a Chazaka, but someone else in his shoes would have a Chazaka. So we said that if there were Edim that you had given the item over for him to fix, then why would someone else have a chazaka? No one should have a chazaka if there are edim that can verify that it was only given to him to fix. So says Tosus, v'nira t'bera'av. We must be talking about a case where we saw that he's still in possession of it, that the guy still has the suit. D'i below ra'a, because if no one ever saw that he has it right now, umanami yesh l'chazaka, then an uman should also have a chazaka. Why? Migo d'ibayam r'chzartiblach. The uman, granted, you have edim that you gave the suit to the uman, but you don't have edim that the human still has it. So migo that the human could have said, I returned it to you, he should have a chazaka and say that I bought it from you. Meaning, just because you give him the suit with edim, he doesn't have to return it to you with edim. So we must be talking about a case where people have seen that he still has the suit. But wait a second, says Tosfos, if that's the case, im kein acher, the Gemara's question is, amay yesh lo chazaka? Why would an acher, someone who's not an uman, have a chazaka? Kiven di ike edim du b'toris pikadon bal liyado, v'lo matzin l'mita nami, hechzartav v'akshari ra'a. The Gemara's kash is exactly that. Why should anybody else have a chazaka in this circumstance? You have edim that saw that you gave it to him to fix, not as a gift. And right now people see it's still in his possession, so he can't possibly claim he has returned it. So why should anyone be able to have a chazaka in that situation? That was the Gemara's kasha, and that's why the Gemara said it must be that there were no edim, right? That's how the Gemara came to the conclusion. It must be that there were no edim, and still, even though there were no edim that said that you gave it to him to fix, still we assume that the uman, even without edim, is not going to be able to have a chazaka. Okay, weiter. New sugya. Tan Rabbanan. Nischalfu lo kelim bekelim bebeis ha'uman. Let's say you pick up your suit from the tailor or the dry cleaner. Happens all the time. Pick up shirts from the dry cleaner, and then you get home. Those aren't your shirts. You picked up somebody else's shirts. Same amount of shirts, but it's not yours. So what do? Can you wear those shirts if the dry cleaner doesn't have your shirts? So Reza Yishtamish Ben, yeah, you can use them. Until the other guy comes and returns your shirts, and then, because you could assume that the dry cleaner gave somebody else your shirts, so until the other guy comes and returns your shirts, you can use his shirts. Bebeis ha'avel, bebeis ha'mishnah. But what if you go to a wedding, you go to a party, you go to a shul, let's say, and you go to the coat room and you check for your you put on a coat that looks like your coat, you get back home. Also happens all the time, and you stick your hand in the pocket, and you realize that there's keys to somebody else's home, or something like that, in your pocket. You realize that it's not your coat. So, hareza lo yishtamish ben. Then you're not allowed to use that coat. Until the guy comes and trades back with you, you're not allowed to use the coat. Maishna resha, maishna seifa. Now, why is it different? Why is it different if you got the wrong suit from the dry cleaner than it is if you got the wrong coat from shul? Why should it be any different? So, Amar Rav, excuse me, slipping in the sukkah never works. I always get a cold. Amar Rav, havi sivna kamei de chavivi. So Rav says, I was sitting in front of my uncle, va'armali, and he said to me, he says, I'll tell you the difference. a lot of times when people give their suit into the dry cleaner, they ask the dry cleaner to sell it for them. They're not only giving it to them to clean, they say, do me a favor, sell it for me. So this is obviously Talin and Metzias. We're assuming that this actually happens, right? In a situation where that actually happens, so you know what you can assume when you got the wrong coat? You have the right to assume that the dry cleaner was asked by somebody else to sell their coat, and he accidentally sold your coat, and now he's giving you the coat that he was asked to sell in place of your own coat. And therefore, you're allowed to use that coat because the dry cleaner owns it now. He was asked to sell it, and he's already paid the original owner for the money that he got for it. Amar Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Nachman lo shanu elahu avol ishto banav lo. Rav Chiya b'Nachman says, no, it's only true if the dry cleaner himself is the guy that gave you the wrong clothing. But if his wife or his children were working the register that day and they gave you the wrong clothing, then you cannot assume that it was that he had done it on purpose because he accidentally had sold your coat. You just have to assume it's a mistake. And if it's partially a mistake and your coat is still there somewhere, you're not allowed to use somebody else's coat. And also him himself, it's only going to work if he says talistam. If when he gives you the talis, he says, oh, here's the talis. But if he says to you, aval talischa, if he says, here's your talis, here's the talis that belongs to you, lo, then it's not going to work. Then you cannot assume that you could wear it, because hai lav talis today, who you know it's not your talis, and therefore you have to assume that the cleaner's made a mistake. So again, the basic rule is, anytime you could assume that the cleaner's made a mistake, mela, if the cleaner's made a mistake, you're not allowed to wear it. Anytime there was a mistake, you're not allowed to wear it. But if you assume that the cleaner did it on purpose, and the reason he did it is because he had already sold your coat by accident, then you are allowed to wear the coat. When the Gemara says, Maishan Reisha, Maishan Seifa, right, what's the difference between the case of the cleaners, where you are allowed to wear it, and the case of the party, or the Beis Avel, or the Shul, where you mix up your coat, and you're not allowed to wear it? So the Rishonim point out, the Ritva says explicitly, it's not really a kasha so much Maisha Reisha, Maisha Seifa. The real kasha is, why in the world would you be allowed to wear it in the Reisha? I mean, the Gemara was not bothered by why you're not allowed to wear a coat that's not yours, that you pick up in shul. It's logical that you shouldn't be allowed to wear it. You made a mistake, you took the wrong coat, it's not yours, who gave you permission to wear it? Right? So that doesn't bother the Gemara. What really bothered the Gemara is why, when the cleaners gives you back the wrong clothing, you are allowed to wear it. And that's what the Gemara makes in a Kimta. No, it's talking about, since it's very likely that the cleaner did it on purpose and he already owns it and he's giving you clothing that belongs to it, right? So that's the only time you're allowed to wear it. But typically, if there was a mix-up, typically you're not allowed to wear these things. Now, the Ritva asks, he says, if we're going to assume that the Uman made a mistake on the Talis, that's Omedus L'Mechira, why don't we tell the Chumrah that if we assume that the Uman, meaning, what do we assume? That the Uman sold the wrong talus. And because he sold the wrong talus, he's giving you the talus that he was supposed to sell. That's being told l'kula to allow you to wear it. But once we're assuming he made a mistake, shouldn't we be told l'chumra? Meaning, shouldn't we assume that the Uman made a mistake with the stam talus? That instead of mixing up the talus that he was supposed to sell with your talus, maybe he just mixed up your talus with somebody else's talus that he was supposed to clean? You know, why would we automatically assume the most lenient possibility? Right? Once we're assuming he made a mistake, why would we automatically assume the most lenient possibility to allow you to wear it? Shouldn't we assume the chumra to not allow you to wear it? And he says that a person who, when an uman gives back the talis, he generally will double check to make sure it belongs to you. And therefore, we're not choshish that he gave you back someone else's talis. But when it comes to mechira, we say since over there it's more likely that the Uman made a mistake, because it's just a barter of shava b'shava. He's getting equal payment for something that's of value, and we're going to assume that he made the mistake there. It's a little difficult to understand why he would make more of a mistake by a mechira than he would by just clothing that's in his possession, but that's the assumption that we have to make, that when it comes to a mechira, he's more likely to have made a mistake than when it comes to just giving back the clothing, and to just assume that he gave back the wrong clothing. Now, it's not a magic, distinction that automatically, whenever you're dealing with a dry cleaner, you're automatically allowed to wear it, right? We see clearly in our Gemara, it's only when you can rightfully assume that the dry cleaner made a mistake. The Tshuva Seshen writes in the Tshuva that if there's a Koveses Nachris, if it's a non-Jewish cleaner who gives you some a talis that's not yours, you're not allowed to use it. Because the assumption is that she did not make a mistake, she's just not careful, right? The assumption is that she did not give you something that she was supposed to sell and that she had the right to sell. We assume that that's not the case. We assume she just wasn't careful. And most dry cleaners today do not also sell clothing. And therefore, Bizman Hazeh, this halacha would not apply at all. Now, the second halacha is very nogei lemaisa, right? Shulchan Aruch paskins in Chosh Mishpah Kufa Mitvav Sif Peis, Nischalf lo kelev bebesa avel besa mishta, lo yishtamish ben. If your kelim gets mixed up in a besa avel or besa mishta, you're not allowed to use them. And the Ramah adds, Ukshayavo bala chayfetz, when the owner of the object comes, sarich litein hachayfetz lebailiv, you need to give him back his coat, afal pi shishalo nevad, even if he doesn't have your coat. Right? If a guy comes and says, you took, you post an announcement, who switched coats with me, I found whatever in the pocket of this coat. And the guy comes and says, oh, you took my coat. And you say, well, where's mine? And he says, I don't know, I didn't take your coat. So you do have to give it back to him. You're not allowed to say, well, I don't believe you, I my coat's not there anymore. Right? You're not allowed to make any such claims. The assumption is, you made a mistake, you took the wrong coat. Who knows who took your coat? But you can't assume that it was this guy who took your coat, and therefore you have to give him back his coat, even if he doesn't have yours. That's one interesting halacha lemaisa point that comes out of the Shulchan Aruch. Also, the Sma quotes from the Torah over here in Sivkat and Beis that says as follows. Sma quotes that we said that by the kovesis, by the uman, by the cleaner themselves, we're allowed to make the assumption that someone had asked the uman to sell their clothing for them, and therefore the uman accidentally sold your clothing and gave you the clothing that he was supposed to sell. What if the original owner of that clothing comes and says, I never told the uman to sell it, now give me my clothing back? Right? Are they neman to say that? So the Torah says, absolutely yes. I mean, this is a tliya that we're going to make the assumption that maybe the uman made a mistake and sold the wrong piece of clothing. But that's only as long as we don't know. But the original bailim, if he's able to give a siman that that's his, and he tells you that he never told the uman to sell it, he just gave it in to be cleaned, and the uman made a mistake, so then vada, you have to give it back. Right? So it's going to be very rare, a case where you actually get to keep wearing, certainly Bizman Hazeh, where the uman doesn't sell it. If someone gives you back the wrong clothing, if you would be so inclined to wear clothing that doesn't belong to you, so it would be asur lahalacha, right? A person would not be allowed to wear such clothing. Okay, says Gemara Vayter, 5 lines from the bottom of the page, on Mem Vav Amud Aleph. 6 lines from the bottom of the page. Amalei Abaye l'Rava. So Abaye says to Rava, Sa achli lach Ramay de Pumadisa. He says, let me show you the Ramayim of Pumadisa, how deceitful some people in Pumadisa are. May Avdi, I'll show you how they operate. Amalei havli sarvalai. If Ruvain says to Shimon, give me back my coat that you have. Lohay dvar me'olam. And Shimon says, what coat? It never happened. You never gave me a coat. So Reuven will then respond, "Ha'isli sadi d'chazio gabach. I have witnesses that saw that you do have the coat. So what do you mean you don't have the coat?" Armalei ahu achrina hava. He responds, "No, the coat that I have, that's some other coat. That's not your coat. You saw that I have a coat, but it's not yours." Afkine v'dachzinu. So he says, "Okay, so take it out. Let's examine it. Let's see if it in fact is mine or not." He could say, no, I'm not taking out the coat. I'm not going to take out someone else's coat just because you're coming with this scurrilous claim that it's yours and that I've stolen it from you. No way. I'm not going to take it out for you to examine someone else's clothing. And Amarava, Shapir Karmalei, Rava says, La Halacha, he has every right to say that. There's no reason why he shouldn't be able to make such a taina that he's not taking out the coat. Now the Rashbam says, and Tosfos also says over here, when we say the chazu gabach, the people that the plaintiff over here claims that people saw the coat by the guy, it's lav dafka that they saw for sure that it was his coat. Not lav dafka, it can't be that they saw for sure that it was his coat. Right? He says 4 lines from the bottom, the chazu gabach Beged echad ra'u v'hu shali. Right? He says they saw a beged, and he's claiming that it's my beged. But umiyu ha'edim im akirum bo yafe im zehu. The Edom saw a beged, but the Edom cannot verify if this is in fact a beged, right? If this is in fact the beged that belongs to this fellow, they can't verify that with any certainty. And since they can't verify that with any certainty, so Mela, the guy holding on to the beged, Rava says, is within his legal rights to say, I'm not going to take it out. This belongs to somebody else. It's not yours. Why? So two more words. Ra'a Tanya. The reason why he has every legal right to hang on to it and to not take it out to be inspected is because when did the Braisa say that you're entitled to get your beged back and you're believed? That's only if it was seen in the other person's possession. Over here, it was not seen in the other person's possession, right? If you look at the top Rashbam, Ra'a Tanya, Ra'a Taliso Biyadu Uman Sharoa Achshav, you see it right now in his possession. Ube Edim. But in our case, you didn't see your talis in this woman's hands. And your Edom that did see it, don't know that it was yours. Even the Edom that did see it, don't know for sure that it was yours. They just saw a talis in his hands. Says Gemara Amar Ravashi, but Ravashi comes up with the following chap. He says, V'chachim, if you want to be smart, and you want to get him to bring the talis out so that you can reach a situation where it is ra'a, and then you'll be able to be believed and you'll be able to get it back. So you have to trick him into bringing it out. How do you do that? Mashvi le ra, get him to bring it out, to make a situation of ra. Da amar le, say to him, amai tefisa slay, why are you hanging on to that talis? Lav mishum dislach habayi, isn't it because you think I owe you money? So hashtafkinu v'shayminu shkalat idach v'shkalan adidi. So I'll tell you what, let's take out the talus, let's evaluate how much it's worth, and I'll pay you for it. What do you want to hang on to the talus? I'll pay you for whatever you say I owe you, and then I'll take my talus back. So let's take it out, let's get it evaluated, we'll see how much it's worth, and we'll settle everything. You're right, I owe you money, meaning he'll be moda, that he owes him money, and that will encourage the uman to bring out the talus. And once he brings out the talus, then it will become ra'ah, and then he'll be able to say, no, I don't really owe you money, but now it's a situation of ra'ah. I just said I owe you money because I was honest, because I know the way to get my talus back. But now that we know that it's my talus, it's ra'ah, and I want my talus back. Right? That would be his best trick. So Amalei Ravacha Breid Ravavi L'Ravashi, Ravacha Breid Ravavi says Ravashi, Matzi Amalei, no, the human could still get out of it, because he could say, Lo Tzarich N'Lashum Yidach Kvar Shemo Kamai D'Kamach. He could always say to him, you know what, I don't need to evaluate this, because it's already been evaluated. I mean, there's no reason for me to take out the talus just to be evaluated. Don't worry about it, it's already been evaluated before that. Now the Ritva said, what's the Chachma that was originally suggested by getting him to take it out by saying that you owe him money? So the Ritva says, the Chachma is that you're, exactly the point that I made, the Rashbam doesn't really spell it out, but the Chachma is that you mode him right now, that you owe him all the wages that he claims you owe him, and your only goal in saying that is to get him to take out the talus, but once he takes out the talus, you're not going to be bound to your Hoda'a. You're not going to have to actually pay him what you said you owe him, because you're then going to be able to taina that you only said you owe it to him because you were an honest, because that was the only way you were going to get him to take out the talus. And that's the chachma that was involved. Okay, says Gemara Vayter. Oris in lo chazaka. You say that a sharecropper doesn't have a chazaka on the property, on the land, because obviously he's working the land. He's been working the land for years. He's employed to work the land. He can't claim to be the owner. It's like a factory worker claiming that he owns the factory. And he'll say, Haraya, I go there every single day. What do you mean? Of course you go there every single day. You work for the owner. You work for the boss. So says the Gemara, Amai. Well, wait a second. Shouldn't he, yes, be able to have a chazaka? Because as it in the palga v'hashtakula, meaning normally, what does an artist get? An artist works the field and he gets 30%, 40%, 50% of the produce. If the artist has been taking 100% of the produce for 3 years, so shouldn't that be a good chazaka? Because he's not taking like an artist anymore. Now he's taking like the owner. He's taking everything. So if he takes everything, I don't care that he was originally an artist. Once he's no longer acting like an artist, he's taking payment like the owner himself, like the balabas. So why shouldn't he have a chazaka in that case? So the answer is Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Barisei Batei Avos. Now we're dealing over here with an aris that's been working for the family for many years. And the Rashbam explains that an aris that's been working for the family for many years, very often the setup would be that instead of him working the field each year and taking 30% of the produce each year, whether he would work for 10 years, and for 3 years straight, he'll take all the produce, and then for the next 7 years, he won't take anything. And that's just, it's just easier to work it out that way. They don't have to keep on dividing it. It's just this year everything is his, next year everything is his. So he'll go 3-4 years straight where he takes all the produce. And that way he's not going to have a chazaka because it's such a long-term agreement that it's normal for it to work out in that way. That's how at least the Rashbam understands it. Rabbeinu Chananel understands that Arisei Batei Avos is the Vart is that since the Baal HaBayis trusts him so much, he'll allow the Aris to bring all the peros into his house before he divides it. Meaning clearly he's going to divide the peros of each year, because why would you arrange such a meaning he doesn't like the Rashbam's Pshat, because why would you arrange something like that where I'm not going to get paid for 3 years straight? Would I really be comfortable with that? Let's say I'm the aris. If I'm Baal HaBayis, maybe I own other fields. But if I'm the aris, I'm really okay with that? I'm getting paid everything for 3 years and then not getting paid for the next 3 years? That's crazy. Much more likely, we're going to divide the produce each and every year. Why do I bring all the produce into my house? Me and the Baal HaBayis have such a good relationship. He trusts me that I could bring it all into my house and I'll divide it up at home, that I don't have to divide it up in the field. So since there is that level of trust by Arisei Batei Avos, so therefore he's not going to have a chazaka. Right? We're going to assume that there's that automatic trust. Says Gemara Vayter, Amar Rav Nachman, Aris Shahorin Arisim Tachtav Yeshul Chazaka. If an Aris brings in other Arisim to work for him, then he does have a Chazaka. My time, to love it in Ishnachti Arisi Lari Vishasik. A person would never allow you to just bring in other workers without his permission and just let it go without saying anything. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, however, Aris Shechalak Larisin Ein Lo Chazaka. The way the Rashbam understands this is that if an Aris, not just that he brings in other Arisim to work in the field, but that he brings in other Arisim to help him work in the field, but he is also continuing to work in the field, then Ein Lo Chazaka. Then he does not have a Chazaka. Meaning he cannot claim that he's the owner of the field. It's normal for an Aris, when he's overwhelmed, to bring in other people to work under him so long as he's still working with them. My time, Emer Hamanya Be'alma Shavua. Right? You could assume that he hired these extra workers in order to be given some extra help. Shalach Rav Nachman Rav Chisla Rav Nachman Bar Yaakov Yom Den Rabbeinu. Aris made o eno made. What about an aris testifying about the field? Can he testify about it? Have Yosef Rav Yosef kamei amalei hachi amar Shmuel aris made. So Rav Yosef said, Shmuel said that an aris can be made about the field. I have a tanya eno made, but don't we have a brisa that says an aris cannot be made? And says Mara lo kasha. It depends if there's fruit in the land or if there's no fruit in the land. What does that mean? If there's fruit in the land, it means that the artist has still not taken his payment. He hasn't taken his wages yet. Then, Rashbam explains, he cannot be made about it because he wants the land to remain by his boss who he's been working for the entire time because he wants to get paid. But if there's no longer payers in the land, meaning the artist has already been paid, then he doesn't care if his boss that he's been working for gets the land or doesn't get the land. You might say he does care because, after all, doesn't he want his boss to have the land so that he can be employed for the following year? Well, he has no guarantee that he's going to be employed for the following year anyway. And who knows? Maybe the new owner that he gives the land to will employ him instead. That guy will employ him for the following year. So that's how the Rashbam understands. The other Rishonim are not so convinced. The other Rishonim have a problem with this understanding because, after all, the Rashba asks, if we're talking about that the artist has not yet gotten paid, why can't he testify? Even if the wrong guy, not his boss, gets the field, he's still required to pay him for his work. Meaning, why should the artist assume that if the guy who did not hire him is the true owner of the field, that he's not going to get paid? What do you mean? I did all this work in the field. The field is supposed to be sharecropped. That's what it's there for. So I was, instead of working for Reuven, I was working for Shimon. So Shimon has to pay me. So why should he be nogea b'davar? So that's the kasha that the Rashba asks, and instead he actually gives Tosfos asks, and instead they give a different pshat in the entire Gemara. The Rashba gives a different pshat in the entire Gemara. No time for it now. Bez Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow with the new subject.